Hello, everybody. We're live here on at Film Score Friday here on Radio Laurier. My name is Ojas. Again, I'm the host of Film Score Friday. And today's episode, we'll be discussing a film legend, a film score composer, who is a legend who's worked for a diverse number of directors with a career spanning over five decades. His name is the one and only Ennio Morricone. You probably know him most notably for his collaboration with Quentin Tarantino, Sergio Leone, and other directors, predominantly for his westerns and his thriller genres. But today we'll really unravel who this man was and his music tastes and his music style and how that impacted the films he made and that how that impacted lots of the audience views and a lot of our long-lasting memories with his work. We'll begin by looking at the movie that actually got him his first Academy recognition. That happened really late in his career, almost his last film, and that was with his collaboration with the great Quentin Tarantino for a film called The Hateful Eight. And in that, he does the entire score, and this is just the overture of the film that he so masterfully makes, which is quite long, about 7 minutes and a half. And so here it is. Okay, so that was the overture, the opening of Hateful Eight. And you can get like the somber feeling that Morricone is trying to convey, even with The Hateful Eight. It's a serious drama, right? There's a lot of suspense. And so that does something that Morricone is really known for stylistically. He does have that ability to be sort of dark and serious and mellow and kind of dry, right? But serious and suspenseful, so to speak. But that's not all that encompassed Morricone. That's not why he was known as one of the best composers in film history. He was known primarily because of his range, right? Because of what he could take any sort of genre and adapt to it and fit any type of film. And so that range is something that you'll see even before Hateful Eight, long before Hateful Eight, he had already had curated a diverse collection of work that is something that any person or any composer or person that makes music for film should be aware of, because that type of versatility is something that I think is necessary for everybody. And here is just one example. We have Deborah's Theme, which is a slightly different tune, although it's somewhat of the same. It does show more of Morricone's range. And this is something that he wrote for once, or he composed for Once Upon a Time in America, which is a classic Sergio Leone gangster. Yeah, Sergio Leone is, I think, his final film. It was a gangster film starring De Niro and Pesci and Jennifer Connelly. I think that's her name, the Top Gun Maverick actress. And yes, and that was Leone's final film and shows Morricone's range. Even in that score, you can see Deborah's Theme, right? It shows Morricone's range, because even though they're both very serious, I would argue Once Upon a Time in America is the more serious of the two. And I think that piece showed that. It demonstrated the serious nature, the deep nature, or even the dark nature of that film and how the music really conveyed that. And I think that's really important when distinguishing that piece from Hateful Eight or, say, another one of his Western pieces. This is not a Western piece. This is a city piece. It's an urban piece. And it's a story about gangsters and the life of gangsters. And the life of gangsters, it's very, as we talked a few episodes ago, in Scorsese's Goodfellas, like Scorsese's Goodfellas demonstrated in Once Upon a Time in America, the life of a gangster is very sad. It's very sad because of all the dark things that a human being has to go through and all the dark things that are inflicted on a human being as a consequence of that life. And so I think that's so beautifully conveyed in Morricone's piece, in Deborah's Theme. It's kind of a somber and sad tune, but it's so addictive for that reason. So now, on a lighter tune, I guess, we should change to one of his more bright spaghetti western pieces, which I really love. Just, it's one of those favorite things that you people like listening to, and that's because of, this is prior to Sergei Leone's last piece. This was one of when he was doing his spaghetti westerns like Fistful of Dollar and Good, Bad, and the Ugly. And those are films that are just, they're the traditional spaghetti westerns. And they have inspired directors, I think mostly Quentin Tarantino, who says most of his films are based off of that type of style. And that's true because there's an exciting element to the spaghetti westerns. And Morricone and Leone basically played off of each other in that manner because he would set the stage of the spaghetti western, and then Morricone would, you know, provide the music for that, and the music would just be full of energy and full of life. And here's one, the probably the most notable example of that is in The Good, Bad, and Ugly. The piece, I'm pretty sure it's called, let me pull it up. The piece, forgetting what it's. I'm forgetting the specific name of the piece, it'll come to me, but we'll play that, and that will show a completely different side of Morricone and what he's capable of writing. Yes, the piece is called The Ecstasy of Gold. It was even played in a Rolex commercial a few days ago that came out. And yeah, it's so inspiring and so beautiful. And yeah, that really demonstrates Morricone's range. We'll play that for you now. Yes, that was The Ecstasy of Gold. Again, we can see Morricone's range now here on full force, right? We can see how he can be both dark and happy at the same time, right? His music can be both dark and happy. And that, I think, really much is a testament to his range, right? Testament to how good he is at adapting to the story, right? Because now we have Sergio Leone's Good, Bad, and the Ugly, a full classic Western. It's just a typical traditional Western with all the action and the guns and all the holsters and the desert and everything. It's just exciting, vibrant, full of energy, as opposed to the dark interlinkings of the gang violence in the urban cities. It's a complete contrast, and that is, it's so refreshing to see that type of range for a music composer and their ability to adapt to the story in terms of the director, in terms of the artist that's creating it. It's quite marvelous, and it's quite a joy to watch. We have a few other pieces that we're going to be going through, just different types, different styles Morricone offered. Now, I know those three are pretty much some of the most notable ones. We do have a lot of other ones that are also notable. I will also say that, because those are not the only notable ones. But we will cover a few more. We won't have time to cover everything, but we will cover a few more notable ones that are both American films based and Italian based films. So yes, we will. And I'll say the song at the end of playing it, actually. Okay. So yes, those are three songs that I just played by Morricone again. And the songs were Gabriel's Oboe from The Mission, Chi Mai from Le Professionnel, and then C'est le Telefondo, which I'm pretty sure may not have been for a movie. It was for the artist Mina, who also did a song in Goodfellas. But nonetheless, we can see Morricone's range, versatility, and just passion. And the explosive nature of his music sometimes is just breathtaking. It's just a joy to watch, because on screen, explode, and the movie explodes, and we saw that with The Mission, in a more sad and depressing and almost gloomy way. But we saw that with Chia Mia, which kind of just exploded, and The Ecstasy of Gold, right? So again, it's being able to communicate and convey those emotions as a musician, using a wide range of tools. And he, I think, does that very well. And we'll wrap up the episode there on that note, just for everybody. Today was a little shorter of an episode because we had some technical difficulties. But despite that, I think we're all able to look at Marconi's music and look at his work. And unfortunately, now he's passed. But look at it and see, how can we do something like that, or adapt? How can we learn from that? And I think the key today, the key theme that we discovered was range, true range and true versatility in art. And that's something that I think he does so well. And I think we can all learn from that, whoever you are and whatever you're trying to do with film composing or with film in general. And so that's it. We'll see you next week on Film Score Friday. I'm your host, Ojas, on Radio Laurier. Goodbye.